Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these game.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield, just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the second. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle in third.
SEC mixtapes. Hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the South.
The roof is on fire. We don't need no water, leper. Where y'all at, G Willis? Y'all left me hanging. Y'all gonna let me get a whooping by myself? Y'all just gonna let me get a whooping by myself like that, G Willis? I know you're here. Welcome to SEC Mixtape, baby. We back again for the great show. Everybody love it. Everybody know we here. Everyone come on SEC football. We just dropping a mixtape, man. We just doing it in our way. Talking like we talk. Talking noise like we like to do, man. Welcome to the show. A lot to cover. We're 2 weeks out. Some college football. This time next week, it'll be our last show before the season starts. It will officially be the last show before it's on and popping. Can't wait. G Willis, are you with me? Well, I guess not. Pretty sure he's somewhere on here. G Willis and Billy Bad will be joining us a little later. But I'm going to jump right in. So let's get started. First up, I've heard Malik Willis' name a lot more than Shaun White, you know, throughout the preseason of football. He was at SEC Media Days. He talked a lot about Shaun White. Well, talked a lot about Malik Willis. And a lot of that could be that Shaun White was actually hurt. I've actually heard reports out of camp saying that his shoulder hasn't fully
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. What's going on, G?
Okay. Hey, what's up, Billy?
Hey, y'all talking about Lane Kiffin right now at 620?
We're having a Bonzo.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
Are
he tried
on?
To
click
me on. Yeah, we on live. I think he tried to click me on it and probably disconnected itself. But I think we live.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, I've been on for a while and clicking off and clicking. Oh, anyway, we on live, so let's get at it, man. So Lane Kiffin, what's the big news with him other than getting JF3 this week?
That's about it. That's all I heard. You guys tweeted that in like it was breaking news and, you know, I just looked at my feed and kept going throughout my day.
So you said it didn't affect your
I
day
said,
at all is what you said.
Not at all. I said, dang, Gus Malzahn is down to 23 quarterbacks now. You know.
Yeah, that was I saw that joke. I didn't respond. We still got 26.
That's the joke.
Still got 26. So just so you know, still 26
okay.
Quarterbacks left, but. The thing that got me out of that whole transfer, graduated, say, he gave a big speech on why he stayed at Auburn this year and transferred, but the thing that got me was the fact that he transferred as a wide receiver, not as a quarterback, a wide receiver. Does that speak volumes for what Auburn has now, or is that just say – what does that say for JF3?
No, it speaks volumes for what Auburn has now. I told you guys they had some talent at wide receiver. But throwing the ball 5 yards and 7 yards with a guy that got a hurt shoulder when it's not getting the job done.
So I heard Bonzo saying that before he clicked out.
And then doing jet sweeps and jet sweeps. I mean, because that's the only thing they're going to do with JF3. I'll put
him
back there.
We talked about a lot of the season, and me and you especially, about how he couldn't throw. Why is he playing quarterback? But, you know, he did throw a couple of passes. I did see a spark of quarterback position in him last couple of games. But, you know, it fizzled quickly. But he did throw a couple of passes. He threw a couple.
He threw a bunch of passes in college. I mean in junior college. I don't understand it. I don't understand how. Huh?
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I don't understand how guys, they go to junior college and they light up, they come out the number one ranked quarterback coming out of junior college. Him and Jason Smith both. And get to Auburn and can't throw. I just don't understand that. When you look
Cam
at their junior
throw,
college,
he got, I mean, well, now that I don't get because Cam Newton was able to do it, and even Marshall. Marshall was there. He was a defensive back at Georgia, and he was able to play quarterback in junior college and pass the ball pretty well for a defensive back. Let's just say that. So maybe it's just those two guys. I don't know. But, you know, those guys did play D1 ball first, which is the difference in that equation. Marshall and Cam Newton played, you know, at Georgia and Florida before they came to Auburn. These guys
The equation that I see when you say all that is that every one of those guys that you're talking about
was coached by somebody else.
Every one of them. I'm talking about Cam, Nick Marshall, the two kids we just talked about, Stenham. I mean, come on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've been saying it before. I mean,
how many is that? Is that six or seven? How many is that?
It's too many. He should have been gone a long time ago, man. They should just demote him. How about just a demotion? I would be cool with just being demoted. Let him stay as a recruiter. And family guy, whatever he wants to be, you know, drive his BMW around, and we have somebody who can actually run the program.
Jason Smith.
Are you back on, brother?
JF3 isn't the only quarterback that transferred to Florida Atlantic this year. Florida Atlantic, yesterday. They also got
a
former Oklahoma quarterback in Chris Robinson.
Yep. Who does?
So, Lane Kiffin is cooping quarterbacks like it's nobody's business, man. That tells me a lot about Lane Kiffin, man. Lane Kiffin he's being viewed by a lot of these kids who's transferring. Like, don't be shocked. Go ahead.
Ask me this. Do we have more than Gus?
Lane Kiffin now officially has more quarterback transfers than Gus Malzahn.
I'm talking about on the team.
Than Gus Malzahn. Huh?
Yeah, Malzahn has quite a few quarterbacks on the team that don't play quarterback but can play it at any given time. But you did hear, we spoke that JF3 is going to play receiver and not quarterback.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yes.
That kind of blew me a little bit.
We saw that.
I was kind of blown by that. I wasn't expecting that. As you saw in our text, nobody responded. But it kind of blew my whole, like, why did he transfer? I mean, Billy just explained it. But, again, the speeches he gave when he graduated, the speeches he gave when he came back this summer about why he's still there, kind of all were kind of just thrown out the door when he transferred. I didn't get it.
Well, My personal opinion, man, Lane Kiffin is going to do pretty good at Florida Atlantic. I'm not sure how long he's going to be there, but as long as he's able to entice these big-time athletes to come there, you know, JF3, even out of high school, he wasn't even considered a quarterback. He was considered an athlete out of high school. Jimbo Fisher made the statement after his first year playing there that he thought JF3 – was a special talent at wide receiver if he just worked to become better at that position.
And JF3, we all saw what happened on Last Chance U. He got beat out by a JUCO guy and went to Auburn, and just passing wasn't his thing. However, I would not be shocked if Lane Kiffin uses him in Wildcat packages and lets him run the ball. That wouldn't shock me at all.
What's their schedule
honestly,
like, Monzo? Who?
Florida Atlantic schedule?
What type caliber teams are they playing? I would love to see the caliber teams they're playing.
Of course they're not. They're not playing a lot of Big Five teams. They're not. Mm-hmm. However, they're in Florida, which makes it interesting. And, you know, football in Florida is still football in Florida. You know, of course you have Florida State and you have the University of Florida. But, you know, Florida Atlantic, South Florida, man, those are some big schools, man. And normally they normally make bowl games every year. But, of course, they aren't on the Power 5 level. So, I think Lane Kiffin stays down there for a little while and kind of dominates at that level. I think he'll stay down there and dominate at that level.
I don't see the reason why he shouldn't. I mean, I learned something about Florida Atlantic this year. Well, I should say last football season. I didn't know they had all of the facilities and money. And I mean, it's one of the bigger. Is it not the biggest school in Florida?
It's one of the biggest. It is.
Yeah,
the big. I think that's Florida Atlantic. I'm going to read through that schedule
totally
real quick. I'm going to read through that schedule.
Yeah, I was totally
and tell me you don't see JF3 playing some quarterback. First game they have Navy. Second game they have Wisconsin. Third game Bethune-Cookman. Fourth
he
game
played
Buffalo.
That game.
Fifth game Middle
he played
Tennessee.
That game too.
Old Dominion. Seven game. Six game. North Texas. Western Kentucky. Mark,
you know what?
Louisiana Tech.
I want y'all to mark this down. I think plays, and I think he plays real good because Lane Kiffin is going to know how to work it to his benefit.
Utilize him
because
to his strength.
Right.
Look what he did with Blake Sims.
That's right. That's right. You are absolutely
I agree. I agree with you. What's your name again? Bill? I agree, Bill.
My name is Gerald. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Are you going with Gerald? So you go with Gerald tonight. So, man, you know, that's nothing about Lane Kiffin. I just wanted to show him a little love, man. Man, let's go around the SEC, man, and talk about defense, man. Defense, you know, it's crazy because just 5 years ago, when you spoke of the SEC, that's what people talked about. Defense. Man, these last few years, a lot of people been screaming offense, quarterback, Heisman Trophy winners from the running back position. So, man, we're gonna get back to the good old days, man. And we're going to talk a little bit about some defense, man, and just some of the key people coming back and some of the key people arriving. You know, first I want to talk a little bit about some junior college transfers. Bama has a junior college transfer that's making a lot of noise on campus right now. He's making a lot of noise. Isaiah Bugs, evidently, this guy, they have very, very high expectations of him. Billy, you hear anything coming out on Isaiah Bugs?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those defensive line that's very, very strong. He's going to mix right in with Hand and Big Rock. I'm telling you, you need to – Rock Davis, I think that's his last name. But he's going to be a one to reckon with as well. He's going to be a surprise this year, I think.
I think Payne will be your most dominant lineman. What
yeah,
do you think
I,
about that?
I didn't mention Payne because I'm talking about the ones that you know, you're hearing about that's going to be a shock.
So does Bama have any grad transfers this year?
Gerald?
Who is that?
Does Bama have any grad transfers on the defensive side of the ball? Besides,
I haven't heard anything about on the defensive side. I know we normally go after the wide receivers, but I hadn't heard anything on that either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
appreciate
I'm
appreciate
go
that,
Gerald. Yeah,
anytime.
Bugs, man. Isaiah Buggs is he's making noise. I've heard Jeremy Pruitt make some comments about him. They believe in him, man. They really think that he they expect him to put up big time numbers, man. Big time numbers as a pass rusher. And I'll be honest, you know, just the history of Nick Saban, it normally takes junior college transfers a little while to learn his system, for him to trust him. You know, but not this guy. Not this guy. He came right in. They expect him to start, and from everything everyone's saying, and look at his junior college. He was a ranked number one defensive player out of junior college. He was number one. He was number one. They expect him to come on in and wreck shop. So y'all be on the lookout for him. At the end of the last show, we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the better defensive players. One player that G bought up, and he had a lot of confidence in him, think he's going to do well, is Arden Key. Arden Key was a monster last year. And I had
You had what? Did we lose him again?
It
no,
sounds
like we did.
There go.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I said I have no reason to believe that Arden Key won't be a monster again this year.
I agree.
If he plays.
I concur.
If he plays. Because there's an injury that's hampering him right now. And reports out of LSU are saying that they have about three or four people that they're trying to get ready to replace him.
Hey, Bonzo.
Go ahead.
Bonzo. Give me your sleeper defensive lineman of the year in the SEC. Not on each team. SEC.
Ooh.
Give me a name nobody's heard. Or maybe you have heard them. But who's going to be the most dominant sleeper defensive lineman in the SEC this year?
I'll go with Trent Thompson. Trent Thompson out of Georgia. You know what, man? I think he is an absolute monster, man. I think he is a monster. It wouldn't shock me with Georgia not having as much depth as a lot of other SEC teams, that means Trent Thompson's going to get a lot more reps. You know, you're going to have teams like Auburn and Alabama. They're going to be rotating people in and out. They're going to let big Trent Thompson eat all day long. They're going to let him eat all day long. And he did well last year as a true freshman. He did
right.
really well. I mean, he did really well. So I'm going with Trent Thompson.
Okay, we'll see. We'll touch back on that. I'm trying to find the guy right now. I don't really have one. That's why I was asking you. I know you kind of do more.
I'll tell you
depth.
What, man. I'll call another one out. I'll call another one out who can have an incredible season. Jeffrey Holland. Jeffrey Holland.
At Auburn. Isn't he a linebacker?
No, he's a defensive. He's a defensive lineman. Jeffrey Holland.
Okay.
They're looking at him. They're looking at Jeffrey Holland and Nick Coe to replace Carl Blah. How soon do we forget, man? Carl Lawson. They're looking at both of those guys. Jeffrey Holland, man, he played a lot last year, but they only used him in
a linebacker. Yeah, I got lost.
No, Jeffrey Holland.
I remember him as a linebacker.
Yeah, he's a defensive lineman, man. I'm pretty positive.
That's good.
He's pretty tough. He put up good numbers last year, man. He put up real good numbers last year. He's really, really fast. He's really good on the pass rush. And last year he wasn't as good as far as stopping the run goes. But per Rodney Garner, he feels like that problem has been.
Outside linebacker, right. Okay, that's what he played in high school. Gotcha. I was just lost on that one, but thanks for bringing me back in.
I think your guy is going to be a sleeper that's going to jump on the scene, old Cowan.
Byron Coward?
Yep.
I was looking for that name. I was seeing if he's been on the radar. That's been one of my sleepers. If Bonzo say, you know, he said a lot about some stuff that went on in off season with him, you know, the position change and that and whatever's going on with that. And I'm hoping for him that he can turn around this year. He's worked through some issues.
I will never
so
call
hopefully this
Powell
is it.
A sleeper. He is not a sleeper. He should never be a sleeper. He was the ranked number one player in the nation, and his ass ain't showing up yet.
He battling for his job, though. I mean, so it's just like
is he starting to show up yet?
Is he
Deshaun Hamm was too. Deshaun Hamm was too, number one recruit overall. So I mean, what you saying?
And Deshaun Hamm, and Deshaun Hamm has been present. he has been in attendance. So, you know, I just can't get
Byron
Coward.
Is Byron Coward starting? Is he starting? Is he starting this year?
Right now, he's in the two deep. He's in the two deep, but according to Rodney Garn, he feels like anyone in his two deep is a starter because Auburn does rotate defensive linemen quite a bit.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what they call it, the front eight.
The front eight. But, you know, that's one of the things about that's one of the things where you can really see recruiting at, the defensive line. When you have those guys that you can rotate, you know, in and out, man, you rotating four- and five-star recruits in and out, a lot of schools can't do that.
Orion.
A lot of schools cannot do that.
He talked about that
and honestly,
the other day. They had...
Go ahead.
I say Coach Audrey on a show the other day, and they was asking him where did the ACC and the SEC and the rest of the conferences fail. I mean, different at. And he said in the SEC, I don't care what college you go to, it's the front eight. You know, he said two deep in on the defensive line that can play, you know, on Sundays, most of them. And he said, time and time again, they've shown in the first. It's not just Alabama. It's not just Auburn. It's not just LSU. It's every year in the top 10, there's going to be defensive linemen selected from out of the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got another question for you guys. Since you guys are so great at with information, why have we never talked about the SEC leading receiver coming back this year? Jamon Moore out of Missouri.
I'll tell you why. Yeah. I'll tell you why.
Because he plays Missouri?
Yeah, exactly. Win it.
Sort of. But I'll tell you something about SEC fans. SEC fans, we aren't amused with pass-happy Big 12-type offenses. And even though Missouri has moved to the SEC – Missouri still runs that pass-happy Big 12-type offense thing. So they throw the ball a lot. They throw the ball a lot, man. Honestly, I can say with full confidence, if Calvin Ridley, you know, played for a team like that, it would be stupid. He would have ignorant stats. But those stats just appear to be watered down.
Well,
when you pass the ball that much, now we
talked about the receiver from Texas A&M, and which is the same mm-hmm. type offense, if you ask me. You talk about a
nope.
Big 12 run and gun mm-hmm. type offense, but mm-hmm. you guys named him the receiver of the year, and we're
you
talking
know what?
About.
I think,
you just
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was listening.
Texas A&M's offense and Mizzou's offense are actually they're different. They're different. They have very, very different theories, man. Very different theories where you never hear people at Mizzou talking about a poor running game because they don't give a damn about a running game. So you never hear people talking about a poor running game at Mizzou. For Texas A&M's offense to work, they have to have a running game. They have to have a running
okay.
game. That's been part of Texas A&M's problem these last couple of years. You know, for Mizzou's offense to work, they don't have to have a running game. They just throw the ball everywhere all over the field. But Texas A&M's offense is always better. It's always more legit when they have a legit running game, a quarterback who can pull the ball down and run, as well as a running back who can get those tough yards. Mizzou sometimes line up without a damn running back. A lot of times. No running back at all. Just wide receivers running around everywhere.
Well,
so
I'm trusting
I feel
you on
like
that because it's very rare. I waste my time watching the Missouri football game. I mean, it has to be. I mean, I think me and my little girl would watch My Little Pony before I watch a Missouri football game. But I was intrigued by his numbers, stats, so thought I would ask. Appreciate it. Nate Craig Myers is my breakout receiver this year, and it's not because I'm an Auburn fan. So, Gerald, I know you're going to say that's the reason why I'm pulling for the guy, but I watched his recruitment. I watched how everything has turned out for him. I watched him in the spring game. I think him and Jared have a connection, and I think this might be his year. I'm just putting that on the record now so you know it. You're hearing it here now. So I don't want to hear your mouth. At the end of October, Billy said, yeah, I don't want to hear that, Gerald. So I'm just letting you know now, buddy.
Man, I want to, since we own Auburn wide receivers, I want to talk about something a little bit, man. You know, last year, Auburn, this is crazy. Because I think Auburn and Alabama had some similar problems last year. And that both of these teams were absolutely, I mean, loaded at the wide receiver position. But neither had a lot of production out of the wide receivers. Not the type of production you would expect with recruits being on campus like that, man. Like, for instance, I'll tell you one of the main things I've noticed since Rhett Lashley left. And if this doesn't stand out to you, you can't be a fan of football. Something's wrong with you if this shit don't stand out to you. Excuse my effort. last year at Auburn, first game of the year against Clemson, they started a walk-on wide receiver, a walk-on. They started him over Kyle Davis. They started him over everybody. This year, you know where he's at on the depth chart? Dead last. Dead last. So that was another thing. Man, I'm telling you, Rhett Lashley and Gus Malzahn came up with some sick stuff last year. Some straight-up sick stuff. They had this guy. I mean, they had a walk-on wide receiver who was like, I think he's like 5'8", 5'6", 5'7", something
like that.
You're talking
about the converted kicker?
Yes, the converted kicker.
Oh.
The converted kicker.
Okay.
Now, last year they had him as a starter. This year they don't expect to see him on the field much. So when we talk about player development and player evaluation, that's a lot of damn difference. No one else is on campus. No one knew. In fact, there's a few freshmen on campus who moved up ahead of the guy. But last year, they made the decision to start him over some of these 4-5-star players who've proven what they can do over Jason Smith, who we know is a ball of athleticism. Something don't smell right.
Well,
right there.
Now, I'm coming from the old-school perspective. Now, Gerald, I know you're going to agree with me on this one. When you're at practice, sometimes it's one of those guys that can inspire the whole team to play better. Sometimes you give a guy like that a start, let him play, and he made catches now. Let's not get it twisted. He's not the fastest, you know, but he's one of those guys, he made catches. So maybe they had him out there to inspire. This is just, just a speculation.
Hey, G,
to inspire those guys
uh-uh.
to do better.
Hey, G, I ain't going to let you do it. I ain't going to let you do that,
not
G.
Tonight. Not tonight.
I ain't going to let you do that. This is not the movie Rudy. That happened on a movie. That's a movie that you're talking about, G.
I seen it happen.
Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
Hey, Gerald,
Rudy.
What you got on that? Gerald, what you got? I think we lost Gerald.
Well, I'm just saying, man. But I will say, I think Gus Malzahn watched Clemson a little too much and thought that he was about to have him a Hunter Renfro. But it just didn't work out like that. It didn't work out like that.
Yeah.
Now he's relegated to 14 reps, and that's what it is. I just think that's strange. I think that's strange that, you know, you see a guy go from being a number one receiver to third or fourth string. I mean, something happened. That guy hasn't had an injury yet. You know, nothing's happened like that. And, I mean, something happened with the player evaluation right there. But evidently, it may be fixed with Chip Lindsey getting on campus. So we shall see. We shall see.
Who's quarterback coach?
Quarterback coach for Auburn? Chip Lindsey.
Now, that's something a lot of people aren't talking about either, which is kind of surprising, man. You know, last year, Rhett Lashley was the quarterback coach at Auburn. And this year, well, not just last year, the previous 4 or 5 years, it was Rhett Lashley. Auburn has a new quarterback coach in. So that means you're going to see different things. You're going to see different things. Chip Lindsey isn't new to Auburn. He isn't new to Auburn's offense either. But he since he's been gone, he's developed his own style. And this is what you'll see out of Auburn's offense a little more this year. You're going to see the running backs catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. You're going to see the running backs have to double as receiver, which is what they thought about Kerryon Johnson whenever they recruited Kerryon Johnson. I'm pretty sure you know this, G. You follow recruiting pretty well. But Kerryon Johnson was not only a top recruit at running back, he was also a top recruit at wide receiver and safety.
Yep, and safety.
You're right. Uh-huh. People wanted him in safety, uh-huh. But a lot of people looked at him as a wide receiver. So
they did. I want
look
him
to Chip Lindsey to try to exploit that. Yeah.
What about the, and I know we're on Auburn a little too much, but what about the freshman running back that's been making noise at Auburn this last couple of weeks? Well, last
man,
week.
Man, Devin Barrett.
Last week.
You know what? Man, Devin Barrett, he and Cam Martin are very, very similar. I mean, it's kind of eerie watching both of their highlight tapes. But this is why Devin Barrett is getting a close look right now. Cameron Martin is a liability when it comes to fumbling. He's known to fumble the ball. He's fumbled the ball at some really unpleasant times. If anybody who watched the A-Day game with Auburn, the preseason game, remember him fumbling the ball on the goal line, and Jared Stidham actually picks it up and runs it in. You know, it ain't always going to happen like that. So, evidently, Devin Barrett has been smacked pretty hard a few times, and he didn't give the ball up. So, Cameron Martin, Devin Barrett's on your heels, man. He's on your heels. He's on your heels. You better hold on to that brownie.
What I've been reading, I think he may actually have a third spot right now.
Devin Barrett.
Been making a lot of noise. Yeah, Devin Barrett. He's been doing really well the past two weeks. And I haven't heard much at all of Cam doing anything, actually. I know he was there, and it was productive last year, but this year I haven't heard as much from him in camp. So, you know, he still may make a move.
Man, can I talk a little linebacker? Y'all mind if I talk
Let's
a little
go
linebacker?
Go ahead.
Man, y'all know I'm a fan of this dude, man. And this is just something about Bama that impresses me, man. You know, Reuben Foster just left, and I don't know if you guys have heard, but Reuben Foster is listed as a starter for the 49ers right now. He's listed as a starter, and rightfully so, the boy can ball. And he was a big hitter. I'll be damned if Alabama doesn't have another big hitter like that on their roster this year. And that's Mack Wilson, man. Mack Wilson. I've heard that he's been out of position from time to time. However, he makes it up. They're willing to take the risk for the way the cat lays the wood, man. Alabama fans call him the tooth collector. Evidently, he's been making some dentists some money in Tuscaloosa during the preseason. He's been knocking people's teeth out. You know how hard it is to knock somebody's tooth out with a mouthpiece in? If someone has a mouthpiece
and
you knock that tooth out,
that's really hard.
That means you got some thump. That means you like a Toyota Tercel or something.
You need to worry about starting, though, Bonzo. Oh, he's back. He got Hamilton. And the other kid in front of him from last year. I thought Hamilton was a safety. Sean Dion Hamilton?
Yeah.
No, he's playing inside linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the inside linebacker. And right now, Mack Wilson is on right now he's on the two, right? Is he on second string?
Yeah, he's on second string.
And you know how Saban does, man. Saban, they rotate their linebackers. They get them on out there.
So is Moses. So is Moses.
Dylan Moses.
He's second string, too.
Yes, man.
And he's even pushing more so to get more playing time on the side that Mac Wilson is trying to get on.
That's right.
So Mac
that's right, man.
He has a lot of heat. Work cut out.
That's a lot of heat, man. Yeah. A lot of heat. I know Rashad Evans did things this year. This should be his year.
Man. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I love about him.
He just got injured.
Rashad Evans is what I refer to as a dual-threat quarterback neutralizer. When they make this kid spot a quarterback, man, he going to beat the piss out your quarterback. He going to knock the hell out of him. He did it as a freshman. He did it last year. And this year I expect him to be even better. I expect him to be even better, man. He has great speed. He can cover. He can do it all, man. He's a first-rounder. I think Rashad Evans goes in the first round. He's a first-rounder, man. People love him. All of the NFL analysts love him. And he's super fast. He's so fast, man, that people are even talking about maybe he could play safety. Is that not crazy? At that size?
That's crazy, Bongo.
That's crazy. That is insane, man. He is 6'3", 242, and they're saying he has the speed to play safety. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I want to bring a couple other linebackers up, man. There's a linebacker who's just not getting much love for one reason or another, man. But honestly, I think he was one of the better linebackers in the SEC last year. Y'all know who I'm talking about, man. I'm talking about
Kentucky boy.
Who?
Kentucky?
Man, look. Kentucky. No joke, man. Kentucky got some killers on their roster this year, man.
Yep.
As far as defense,
that's who I picked. He's probably going to win the linebacker award this year.
The Buckets Award?
Yep.
And you know what, Billy? You are not the first person that I've heard say that Jordan Jones probably going to win the Buckets Award. Now, you are not the first person that I've heard say that, and I think you may be right. You know, last year, go watch some film on him, man.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, man. He's one of those guys who people get the hell away from.
If last year you took him and the kid from Banville, you could play 7-on-11. They'll make all the time.
You know what?
Zach Cunningham?
He and Zach Cunningham. I agree with you, Billy. I agree. So, but he's a sleeper, man, and he's a monster. And I got to show Auburn some love right here. Deshaun Davis, you know, he's one of those cases where dynamite comes in small packages. He's not a big kid. He just always ends up in the right place at the right time, and he's going to knock the piss out you. He done it
I like
all last year. You got at Auburn, you also have Trey Williams. That's a Mobile native. There you go, Billy. I'm pretty sure Billy knows who he is probably. Trey Williams, you know, he was a five-star linebacker in Auburn. And, I mean, according to they have high hopes for him this year. They have high hopes for old Trey Williams. They expect him to do real well. You know,
Auburn's pretty loaded, man. They are pretty loaded. They are.
Well, I got to stop you. I got to stop you, G. Before, Auburn
hey, man, I'm
loaded.
Going up with Pat Dye said. I believe in Pat Dye. Pat Dye said they're loaded.
Pat Dye said this is the best Auburn roster that he's ever seen in Auburn. However, I read something today that should have Auburn fans shaking in their shoes. Auburn fans should be shaking in their shoes. Last year, we all know what Gus Malzahn did the first game against Clemson. He played 14 quarterbacks. I will never let that die.
Yep.
I will not. That's the craziest thing I ever saw. Well, I thought that was the craziest thing that I would see in college football until I read today that Auburn is thinking about playing two different offensive lines. We all know that offensive line is about rhythm and being together. We all know that. And to hear this, I'm not. Have you ever heard of a team talking about playing two different offensive lines, Billy Bad or G Willis? Or is this?
Nope. No, I've
I mean, have
never
you ever heard
that.
Anything like that, Billy? I've never heard of such. So, I mean, that's odd. I'm not saying that it won't work. I'm just saying that it's crazy as hell. I'm just saying I've never heard another football coach talk about playing two totally different offensive lines. I'm just saying that I'm a little league football coach, and if one of my assistant coaches suggested that to me, I'm liable to kick them off the team. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Two totally different offensive lines? Of course I want to have my first streamer and second streamer, but actually talking about two totally offensive lines for two totally different packages? I think not. I think not. But he's been labeled an offensive genius. So whoever labeled
him, I'll tell
you
something that's more crazy than that. Who's afraid to play Ole Miss right now?
Nobody.
Everybody should be.
Hell, I want to play him. Ole Miss, the Fulton Dale Wildcats, 95 pounds.
They have nothing to lose. Those teams that have nothing to lose always are a wild card. I don't care what week it is. I know what the problems they're having this year, but I'm telling you, Ole Miss, they're wild card this year. Nothing to lose.
You know what, G Willis, I would agree with you, but I don't think – I think – I'm going to call it here right now. We have approximately 14 days before the season starts. Arkansas should be beating the hell out of FAMU a week and one day from today. They play FAMU on a Thursday night, Arkansas does. I think we get some more stuff out about Ole Miss where some players – maybe a mass transfer of players before the season starts.
No.
Anyone on Ole Miss team who's second string or third string and they're actually a good player that other people won't, why wouldn't they transfer?
That was an oxymoron.
Please explain to me why wouldn't they transfer.
If you're good, why would you be on second or third string at Ole Miss? All right, next subject.
Man, you know, Ole Miss had some ballers there, man. Ole Miss recruited well. They paid a high price. They paid
that,
well for those recruits.
Back to my original point. Why wouldn't they be a wild card this year? If they have the talent, why wouldn't they be a wild card? They have nothing to lose. They're playing for nothing. More likely to have a bowl ban this year.
I understand what you're saying, G, but I think that Ole Miss has a mass exodus before the season starts. That's one reason the NCAA is trying to meet with them before the season starts to give players a chance to say, the hell with this. I'm getting out of here.
I thought it was actually this week. When did this week they meet?
That's right. They're going to meet. I think they meet tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. So, you know, things are going to get interesting whenever they meet with the NCAA. And things could get weird, man. Things could get weird really quick. If the NCAA says the right thing and they also allow players to transfer without any penalties, I think you'll see it. And it wouldn't shock me. Shea Patterson, they have a stud quarterback at Ole Miss. Don't get it twisted. Shea Patterson may be wearing someone else's uniform next year. It could happen. It could happen, man. If you're a parent,
he was a true freshman.
That's right. That's right, Billy. He was a true freshman. You're absolutely right. So if they drop the hammer on Ole Miss, I'm telling you, man, that a lot of people are going to jump ship. This is not the Titanic. The band will not continue to play. They're getting the hell out of there. So, since we're on Shea Patterson, let's talk some quarterbacks. We can talk some quarterbacks in the SEC. The most important quarterback in the SEC, when it comes to coaches, I think maybe Keelan Munn. Keelan Munn is a freshman, and he's expected to start for Texas A&M this year. If Keelan Munn doesn't work out and goes belly up, does he make it? Does Sumlin make it?
No.
Does Sumlin make it?
No.
What do you guys think?
No,
I told you, it's on the hot seat regardless. I mean, it's just not that kid. It's the team. I mean, they're gonna get. I can't even think his name right now. The wide receiver number 3, all world wide receiver. Yeah, they're gonna run that kid to death because he's explosive with the ball in his hand. He's gonna be doing sweeps, short passes, screen passes, quarterbacking, wildcat. You watch and see punt returns, kick returns.
Yeah. Yeah, well, man, I'll tell you what, man. Here's the funny thing. Cause Billy always makes me laugh when he says this. He says that Texas A&M is normally the worst 5-0 team in the country. They start out every year 5-0. And then they play Alabama, and the rest of that season just goes to the crapper.
I
see that happening again this year. I'm going to read that first 5 games out for y'all. First game, UCLA. Second game, Nichols. Third game, Louisiana Tech. Fourth game, Arkansas. Fifth game, South Carolina. Sixth game, Alabama. Now, I know I said Arkansas and South Carolina. But honestly, Texas A&M has recruited a lot better than both of those schools. So they definitely have better players on campus than both of those schools. So they could be some 5-0 champions again this year. What you think? What you think, Billy?
Like I said, the hype, the build up, everything. You know, it's 5-0 and then get totally doggone just demolished. And then go the rest of the way 1-4, so they end up 6-4 every year.
Man, I tell you, man, they look like they have one of those schedules that's set up for a hard year. And you know what? They'll be taking on. You know, if you haven't been punched in the mouth yet, it's real messed up to get punched in the mouth 4 times in a row. So I'm saying that to say, like, after they play Alabama, the next week they have Florida. The next week they have Mississippi State. The next week they have Auburn. So you go from what I'll say, I'm not calling Arkansas nor South Carolina soft. I'm not saying anything like that. However, Texas A&M just has a better roster from top to bottom than both of those schools.
Hey, they also have a rematch too, right? Because didn't they play UCLA in the bowl game and had a dramatic comeback to win that game?
They played UCLA, I think it was like they didn't play them in the bowl game. It might have been the first game last year that they played UCLA. Now, I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But
No. You may be right.
Yeah, I'm sure. But you know what, man? We have a let's talk about the hot topic, man. I know you get tired of me talking about it, Billy B. I know you do. I know you get tired of me talking about it, brother, but I got to talk about it.
Florida State, Alabama. Elephant in the room?
The elephant in the room.
Whoop his ass. Whoop his ass.
Florida State, Alabama, man. Let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about it. How about your boy, man? Jacob Coker got on the radio this morning. And Jacob Coker made the comment that Nick Saban is the best defensive coach that he's ever been around. And he countered that with Jimbo Fisher is the best offensive coach that he's ever been around. So, I mean, this game just going to be good. It's going to be good, man. It's going to be good, Billy. It's going to be good. Man, right now, tell me, we have a caller calling in. Let's see who we got here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Oh, it sounds like Coach Ford.
Hey, Coach.
Man.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man, your timing is impeccable. Your timing is impeccable. I wanted to use that word. Check it out. Jacob Coker was on the radio this morning, Coach Boyd. And Jacob Coker made the comment that Nick Saban is the best defensive mind that he's ever been around. But he also said that Jimbo Fisher is the best offensive mind he's ever been around.
He's only been in two programs.
Well, no, man. You know, he's been in the – he's played in the NFL. You know, well, played a little bit. You know, got a chance to meet those offensive and defensive coaches.
Come on.
You know, these guys kind of go around. They get to deal with a lot of guys, man. You know, it went Senior Bowl.
Now, who was Coker again?
I just saw
the transfer from Florida State. The transfer quarterback.
That was a joke, boy. Go ahead, Billy.
First of all, Coach.
I got you. That's why
on Wednesday night. Hey, look, Wednesday night. Jake Coker's kickball team was in the championship at Sage Park, and they lost.
On ESPN Ocho? Or was that on?
No.
Did that make TV at all?
This is facts. This is real facts. He sponsors a kickball team that's at Sage Park on Thursday night. They played their championship last Wednesday night, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
was
what
he the pitcher?
I mean. He's the coach.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Hey.
I saw Jacob Coker play in a national championship game. And we all know the result.
I did too.
Okay.
I did too.
Now,
you talking
now,
about football or kickball?
Does he roll it? Does he like to bounce his ball when he rolls? He like it smooth? Or, I mean, how does he roll it?
Because
I like mine bounce. I like to catch mine on the bounce. I like to see it get up out of there. You know what I'm saying?
You like to get under it a little bit?
Yes,
sir.
A little air under
it a little bit.
I wonder if he can coach me, man. They say I'm uncoachable. But I wonder if he can coach me, man. I wonder if he can get in my head on that one. Just a thought.
What you got, Coach Boyd?
I'm laughing at y'all, boys. Let's see here. I give you guys a little update. Before we get to the trash talk, give you a little update. First things first, it looks like, and then don't be surprised if you see Derwin James in like a Charles Woodson kind of role where he plays offense, defense, and special teams in that game. What they're saying around the program. So that may add a little intrigue to the game. I don't know if it's for a Heisman push or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if I saw that in that game.
If they beat Alabama, he'll win the Heisman.
I mean, if he does all that and they beat Alabama, he's going to be the front runner for sure.
Now,
that's the first thing.
You know what? Go ahead.
What else? What you got?
I mean, I was finna crack a joke about Heisman, to be honest.
It's just a popularity.
I was about to say Lamar Jackson won the Heisman after he accounted for 17 touchdowns against Florida State last year. I was just gonna crack a joke. That was it. I cracked it anyway. You can go.
I mean, Lamar Jackson still running on Florida State right now. That'll be the first to say it. Lamar Jackson.
Hey,
is
you
running right
hey,
now.
You all right with me, Coach Boy?
It is what it is.
I ain't gonna tell you that it's sweet and it's sour, bro. That's what it is. Lamar
you know,
Jackson won the Heisman against FSU last year.
Coach Boyd, we have some questions we wanted to ask you once you give your rundown on Florida State about the ACC
and about some of the predictions
we had. If Auburn and Alabama both lose those games against the FSU and Clemson, but go ahead.
Let's see. Number two, the starting middle linebacker for Florida State is not practicing in about 2 weeks. A kid named Matthew Thomas. That could be big. That could loom large for the program. So we'll see if he's ineligible or not. He's not. They're saying he's sick, but we'll find out more as time goes along. But they are pretty strong at linebacker. They got the Bama transfer, Adonis Thomas. They got a bunch of players that can play linebacker, so they should be okay. The other thing is I've been watching tape, and that ball coming out late out of Frenchie's hands. If that ball comes out late against Bama, it's going to be it's not going to be pretty. So hopefully they have his timing down, because 12's ball came out real late quite often last year, and that will not work against a good team. So we'll see how that goes in terms of just the news. Let's get on to the questions, guys. What you got?
Questions that we had earlier in the week, or maybe last week, into last week, was that if the equation happens where Alabama loses to Florida mm-hmm. State and Auburn mm-hmm. loses to Clemson, what does that say about mm-hmm. HDC versus SEC at that time? Is it, do you take the helm or as the leading conference?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
We're talking about with two teams now. Two teams, you take the lead. But go ahead.
Because we're judging it off of two teams. But there's a couple of other decent teams that I think are on par with everybody else, third and fourth best team in their conference.
So who's your third team, Coach Boyd?
Got a couple of options. But to me, and I'm stepping out, and I'm going to trust what I was told. I was told two things. One, that NC State's going to be really good this year. And two, that Louisville will still be strong. And we haven't even counted.
You talking
Miami's
about?
We haven't counted. Yeah, I mean, we haven't
the
even
same
counted.
Louisville
Miami's
that.
We
Coach Boyd. Go ahead. Get them, Bill.
The one that beat Florida State.
They
brought enough players back this year that they should be strong. But remember that Louisville only plays too deep. They only play too deep.
Coach Boyd, I believe you mm-hmm. are very disrespectful to Miami right now.
Mm-hmm. But Miami got to find a quarterback. Mm-mm. I looked at Miami's numbers Sunday, and they got to find a quarterback. They have no quarterback experience. And Willis will tell you, any team without quarterback experience, I will not coastline any team that does not have an experienced quarterback.
Miami's going to have two
freshmen more than likely.
I think Miami is a sleeper in the ACC this year.
Ooh, that defense is good, buddy. That defense is great. They got those sophomore linebackers are all back this year. They got Manny Diaz is very good defensive coordinator. And we all know
they got
coach
his offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got to find a quarterback.
And Mark Richt, like you say, Mark Richt is consistent. Mark Richt is a good coach, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can believe that Mark Richt is a good coach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm still tripping
so,
over
so
your
so
third spot.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. NC State.
Yeah,
has a very, very talented team this year. They almost beat Clemson last year. They were there. It was like a last second victory for Clemson over them, and they have a bunch of talented players on the line.
Okay, you're reaching right now. I hate to get you, Coach Boyd, but
you said I'm reaching because you're
NC State in a football discussion. Okay, let's look at SEC quickly, and I'm gonna be very, very brief right now. Auburn, Alabama, supposed to be doing pretty good this year. Georgia should be a lot better. They're actually saying Florida is going to be way better than they have been. LSU was supposed to do better. They got a brand-new offense coordinator. That's just five teams right there.
Let's look at this now. Who's reaching? When has LSU's offense ever been good? All right, let's look at
when
the
if they had
years.
This coach. When if they had this I'm coach
exactly.
they had
now you saw what Matt
So
Canada
you putting your money
like
on a first-year head coach and a first-year probably starting quarterback more than likely with no experience. Either way,
I will put them ahead of NC State any day.
Especially,
I'll put them ahead of NC State any day because at the end of the day, they're still LSU.
Coach Boyd,
what does that mean?
Coach Boyd,
what does that mean? So we're saying that LSU has talent, which we all know, and we're saying so you guys gonna put your money on Ed Orgeron and a first year offensive coordinator, and we don't know who the quarterback is. All we know is it's LSU.
Oh, but North
Carolina. Let's go to the barbershop with this one. Let's go to the barbershop with this one. Put your money up, sucker. Put your money up.
I'll do it. I will not put my money on Ed Orgeron, and nobody on this phone should.
I will over NC State any day.
I won't. But I will put Kentucky over NC State this year.
No.
Wow.
Y'all got to watch. I don't know about that. But now Kentucky has some talent this year, which I'm happy about because Stoops
exactly.
has done a good job there for that program.
Exactly.
And so, I would expect that them to go,
today.
They're going to have to play it. But I definitely am not against Kentucky. But I don't think that the SEC is as deep as what it's been. Now, I'm happy about one thing. This is the first year where you got some returning quarterbacks in the SEC, so you're going to have some better – you should have some better quality of games in terms of quarterback play. That's going to be
– Let me give you one more, Coach, and I'll be quiet. I'm going to give you one more, and I'll be quiet. If Auburn beats Clemson, I got another upset for you. South Carolina beat Clemson, too, and I hate South Carolina. I hate them. But they'll be Clemson this year.
I'm not huge on Clemson for the same reason. They got a first-year quarterback, but I'm going to tell you what they have. That defense is in.
That defensive line.
Defensive keeper in the game.
That defensive line is going to have pressure on everybody. Boy,
That defensive line is going to have pressure on everybody. So it's going to be a bunch of close games, even if their offense is terrible. They're going to be in the game.
And you know what? This is what I believe, Coach Boyd. I know for a fact when Clemson and Auburn get on that field together, that both of those quarterbacks, for both of those quarterbacks, this will be the best defensive line that they've ever faced in their career. For both
Fair
of
enough.
Those quarterbacks.
On both sides, yeah. On both sides.
On both sides. So I wouldn't be surprised if the first quarter is pretty sloppy. It wouldn't shock me if the first quarter is really sloppy on that in that Auburn versus Clemson game, and both teams are going to kind of have to, you know, find their rhythm. So that wouldn't shock me.
Malzahn's coaching for his job this season. So let's see what happens, because Malzahn's coaching for his job. You know, if he does that three quarterback crap that he did last year and all that foolishness, then you really going to have a mess. Here's why I won't put my money on Auburn. I'll tell you guys. He played three quarterbacks in one game last year. When the season first started, he played John Franklin.
You
he played a bunch of quarterbacks and screwed the game up. Now, here's the issue with – here's the thing about Auburn. Auburn will be running the football excellent. Auburn will be smashing folks. They will inexplicably pass the football and put the other team back in the game every time. It's why I have trouble – putting my money on Auburn. Auburn would inexplicably change what's working to try to throw you off balance when it's already.
I agree.
That's why I can't put my money on Auburn. At least Dabo will do what Dabo does. They're going to throw the football at Clemson. They're going to pass and set up the run. You know what Clemson's going to do. They got a bunch of good receivers. Matter of fact, they might have the best receiving corps in the conference. They got a bunch of good receivers, a couple of good tight ends, too. And they got a spread system. They're going to throw the ball around.
Hey,
set up the run.
I want to stop you right there, Coach Boy. You just said what I wanted you to say.
Tight ends.
You know, Florida State, man, Jimbo Fisher, when he has a five tight end, he's pretty doggone deadly, man. He go nuts. When he has a five tight end,
when
he does well,
end,
man.
Yeah. That,
so
that's the key
you,
to his
how's offense. Ryan Izzo? Is Ryan Izzo, do you guys expect All Ryan right. Izzo to really be that man?
Ryan Izzo is
so. Who do you like best, Ryan Izzo or Maven Saunders? Which one?
I like Maven Saunders. Maven Saunders will remind you guys. Who could I say? He kind of reminds me of the battle tight end last year in a lot of ways. He's that athletic.
OJ Howard. He's built just like OJ Howard.
He's that athletic as OJ Howard is. And I saw them pregame. They throwing him like 50 balls in the pregame. They were setting him up for this season. Maven Saunders can catch the ball from every kind of angle. If they can get him open, he is going to give Bama a fit if they can get him open against that defense.
And you know what? You just said something really interesting. I think Bama's going to have to make a decision on are they going to use Rashawn Evans to cover Maven Saunders, or they going to use him to cover that tight end, or are they going to use him as a spy to cover DeAndre Francois? Because he has that tight speed up from the line. We were just talking about that, man. And I think that's going to be kind of a dilemma for Jeremy Pruitt, you know, to make the decision. I think with him having some familiarity with Jimbo Fisher, I'm just interested to see what he does. What do you think he does?
Bama's going to have to play some zone. That's the thing nobody's understanding. Bama's going to have to play some zone against FSU. You can't line up man-to-man. Now, conversely, it's the same problem with Florida State lined up against Bama. Because if Jerry Jeudy is what he looks like and Calvin Ridley is on the other side, I mean, it's going to be bananas. That Bama offense, and if Ruggs, if those two freshmen come to play and they're really good, they're going to be rough, real rough, matter of fact. And I'm getting over the upperclassmen because the freshmen are that good.
Well, I'll say this. I will.
Who's gonna throw him the ball?
Derwin James.
Well, that's the question.
Derwin James and a freshman. Derwin James is straight up neutral. but I don't know. That's just my opinion. Go ahead.
If you're looking at, we'll see what Derwin does. He should be fully healthy. They're saying he's fully healthy. He's running well. He's been off for a year, so his body should be healthy enough to come out and really play hard. Don't underestimate it. I think Florida State might have the best secondary in the country this year. We'll find out. But between him and Tavares McFadden, may both be top 10 picks. So it looks like they got a good team on paper. You know, we got to see who comes to play in that game. I can't wait to be there.
Hey, man.
Honestly.
Don't forget those defensive players on the other side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, I'm not forgetting.
I mean, the secondary,
player, but I think
the secondary. I'm talking about Alabama secondary.
Well, you know, you got Mr. Fitzpatrick and you got Harrison, who I don't understand how he got out of Tallahassee to begin with. But they got a definitely a strong secondary and probably the best secondary coach in America in Saban. And then Pruitt, that's familiar with FSU. So you really got a bunch of coaches that are interchangeable on both teams in terms of they could coach either school. Cause it's the same defensive philosophy.
Man, I'm so turned about that game. I just can't think of a better way to start a college football season, man.
Come on, man. I'm
too turned about it. But if you had to pick right now, if you had to bet your house where your family
mm-hmm.
lives, if you had to bet
mm-hmm.
your house right now, who you picking?
My money's on the nose, guys. My money is on Florida State right now if I had to put my house on it, because I think they got more to play for. I just think that they have something to prove. They got – what y'all just said, believe me, everybody telling them Lamar Jackson's still running up and down the field on them. Believe me, everybody still tells them that. We still hear that on Twitter. Those guys are hungry. I'm not saying Bama isn't. So Bama's been in the national championship the last couple of years and won one, and they got a bunch of good players that always are there. So I don't think Bama is hungry. Now, it doesn't mean they're not, but I'm saying they don't. That's a powerhouse team. Jimbo better have something special for this one, like he did the first time they played Bama in 08. He had a whole different offensive philosophy than what he normally has for that game. That's why they won.
Mm-hmm. Coach Board.
He completely changed the offense for that game.
Coach Board,
I can't believe you just lost your house, bro.
You talking about that first year that Nick Saban was there when we played y'all in Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
Florida, and the score was like
mm-hmm.
10-3, and Xavier, y'all went through by 9.
It was all defense, right?
Yeah, y'all went through by 9 quarterbacks that day, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They had a really odd philosophy where they were doing like a running quarterback, like all quarterback sweeps the whole game.
X-Man, whatever his name was.
Yeah, with Xavier Lee.
Yeah.
I've never seen Jimbo run an offense, anything like that again, actually.
A kid named Orlando McClain,
Yeah.
I was at that.
They ran a really crappy offense. It's how they won. I don't think Bama expected that. They ran some trash, but it worked for whatever reason. Jimbo never did that mess again, which I'm kind of glad.
It worked because we missed about 9 field goals that day.
Yeah, Bama
hey,
did miss some field goals in that game. Yeah.
Do you think
I was there for that
the
game?
Second quarterback in Bama
was really
fun run?
To be there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was there too.
Huh?
Do you think Tua gets any run in that game? Do you think Bama's second string quarterback gets any snap?
I don't see him because I was reading about him, and he can't read defenses yet. He's worse right now in terms of he's worse than a starter because he really is green. Like, he's too green. If he plays, it's going to be like a spread option type thing or just to get him in the game, take a hit or something. But I wouldn't ruin my future starter for that when he has no experience. Can't read defenses. You may as well say what hurt.
Here's something I'm going to tell you, Coach Barr. I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say your backup quarterback going to get some play in this game.
He might. If Francois keeps holding the ball the way he's holding it, he ain't going to finish this season. If he holds the ball the way he held it last year, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he got hit a lot. The ball got to come out like Jameis. Jameis Winston got rid of the ball fast. That was the key. So that's why I said about he waits for the guy to come over.
You got to hit a lot in y'all spring game. They tapped him on the helmet so many times, it was ridiculous.
It was crazy, right?
So you think that's that's a quarterback problem, not an offensive line problem?
No, it's the offensive line. It's the offensive line.
It was both. It was twofold. All right, first off, I saw some atrocious blocking, and I saw some very timid looking blocking schemes at times. Also, I saw Francois waiting for the guy to come open before he threw the ball. The key to Jimbo's system is the ball got to come out. You got to throw the guy open, in a sense. Francois, wait for the guy to break. You can't wait for the break. That's why Jameis has been the only person to ever actually be successful at Florida State, because he got the ball out. He didn't wait for the guy to come open. He just trusted the player would come open.
Okay. Well, Billy Bad, I have a question for you first, and then I have a question for Coach Boyd. Billy Bad.
Yeah.
Did your freshman running back play in this game? Did your freshman running back play in this game?
Yeah, he plays.
Oh, yeah.
Najee Harris plays? Do you think he gets significant carries?
No, I think he gets.
You think he gets significant carries?
No, I think he gets about five.
Yeah, he gets about 10 carries.
So what about you, Cam Akers? You guys freshman at Florida State.
Will Cam play? Now, I think Cam's going to run punts or kickoffs back, definitely.
Yeah.
And I expect him to get at least about 10, 15 carries. But I think he's third string right now. I'm pretty sure he's third string.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Who the hell is him? I know
sure
you guys have
third string.
Jacquees Patrick. Who
else
is
Florida State?
He's
a starter. Running back.
And, they got at least five-star running backs at Florida State right now. So they're all good. Taylor LeBourne, they got a kid named Zaquanze White. They got a slew of good running backs. And I'm sure Cam will play. It's just a matter of Jimbo probably put his third string to humble him a little bit. But they got so many good backs.
Cam is the real deal.
Yeah. He'll play a lot, but I don't know. Like, he won't. I don't see him running the ball more than 10 to 15 times in that game.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question I have, too, for both of you guys. Billy, if it comes down to a field goal, a 40-yard field goal, does Bama have a kicker you can trust?
If the game is close, we lose. We don't win close.
That's telling. Because Florida State
got
Ricky Aguayo, who Ricky
blow
Aguayo
people out.
Outstanding.
We blow people out.
Yeah. Ricky Aguayo is outstanding. I have no problem putting the game on his shoulders if he has to win it. Ricky Aguayo is a good kicker. Now, if he got to go beyond 40 to past 40, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on that. But inside 40, he's easy money.
You know what his brother
is? Who's your kicker? Mike?
It's Ricky Aguayo. It's Roberto's little brother. Ricky Aguayo.
Oh, wow.
Kicker at Florida State.
Just got cut on on TV.
Yeah, that could be in his head.
His younger brother is the kicker.
Yeah.
But he got cut in the pros. He was second round draft.
His older brother just
got
cut by the Buccaneers, but he got picked up by Chicago Bears like the next day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number two.
It was on Hard Knocks tonight.
Yeah, last night.
Billy Bad and Coach Boyd, I got two more questions for you guys. Okay. We talking about betting your house and your own football team here. If you're betting your house and it's your football team, who do you want quarterbacking on a game-winning drive? Jalen Hurts or Francois? Coach Boyd first.
Come on, man.
Which one do you want to take a snap?
Come on.
Game-winning drive. You taking Frenchie?
I'm taking Frenchie. Frenchie won the game against Michigan. He just won the last game that they played against Michigan with a game-winning touchdown pass. That proves he can do it. Now, Hurts also scored a touchdown against Clemson on their final drive. So, I mean, but I'm taking my quarterback because I just think he's got a better coach.
Hurts did it against Michigan. I mean, he did it against Clemson. He did it against LSU. He did it against Ole Miss to break it open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did it against USC to bust it open.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, yeah. He's very fast. He's very fast, but
so who
can
you
allow
Billy
his
bad?
Arm to win?
Can
his
you
arm
to
so
win?
What's your answer, Billy? What's your answer, Billy?
To what?
What's your answer?
Who you taking?
Jalen Hurts.
Boom.
Oh, man.
Boom. Hey, man.
I got Sean White.
Can Hurts win the game with his arm? That's the question. Can Hurts win the game throwing the football? I haven't seen – I'm curious to know offense Bama's going to run this year. Because I know they've been watching tape of the Patriots. But come on, it's only one Tom Brady, so you can't really clone him. So even if it's the same system, you don't have the same guy driving the ball. So I'm curious to see what kind of offense Bama's going to run.
That was good. Hey, you know what? You guys have convinced me this game is going to be even better than I thought it was. I knew it was going to be a great game. But that's a lot of confidence, man. That's a lot of confidence. Those are two really, in my opinion, man, I really think a lot of both of these quarterbacks, they were both criticized a lot last year, man. They were both criticized a lot last year. But go ahead.
Can y'all do me a favor, guys? Can y'all get together at the game and do a little small segment for SEC Mixtape, if y'all don't mind?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do something. Yeah, we'll do something.
There it is.
In between tailgates or something, guys, we'll do something, you know, or whatever, in the stadium, whatever, we'll do something.
Okay.
Do something, man. That'll be awesome, man. But, you know, I just really, man, I'm looking forward to that game, man. And, you know, I'm going to ask you guys something else. And this is a good question, in my opinion. There's a big possibility that these teams could possibly play twice. They could possibly play twice.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams
are
in the driver's seat in their conferences.
Right.
So
it's supposed to happen.
You know, I know everyone would rather win that second game. And I just think it's going to be so hard. It's so hard to be the good team twice. It's not easy. It's not easy to be the good team twice, man. And – you know, I just want to hear y'all thoughts on that.
Start off. I mean, go ahead,
Coach.
No, I'll say two things. First off, I don't have a problem with them playing twice. I think it would be good for college football. I will say this: I think that the rematch national championship that Bama got against LSU is why we have this playoff now. So it's something that they want to avoid, like the same teams playing twice, essentially, because whoever won the first game, they almost are guaranteed to lose the second game. Because if you win, you got to do what brought you to the party. But if you lose, you got a whole bunch of options for things that you want to change. But when you win, you got to go with what works. That's part of why LSU got blown out the second time against Bama, because LSU came out and did what works, and Bama stuffed it. So it's a catch-22. It's great. It's exciting. I would love to see these teams play twice. But it's almost a given that the team that lost will win the second game most of the time.
Wow. Go ahead, Billy.
I agree with Coach. The reason why they did that is because of the LSU-Alabama rematch that everybody was outrageous about.
And
I kind of agree. Because LSU had to play Georgia in that SEC championship game,
yeah,
and then turn right,
yeah,
Alabama, and you know,
exactly.
That was
good
just,
memory, good memory.
Yeah, why Alabama just sat back and healed
they
up.
Were
and, yeah, and it's hard to beat.
And that's how we got a playoff.
You know, I mean, especially
so
when he
saying,
played there.
I tell you what, the same thing happened. This is why we got real, or how we got the BCS to begin with. If y'all remember back to 96 when Florida State beat Florida and they had to play them again for the national championship in the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got the BCS, because they had a rematch national championship game. So we ended up with a BCS and then we ended up with a playoff both times because of a rematch game that was kind of like, and both times, the second team or the team that lost won the next game.
And then, you know,
every
year they used to have only about 8 or 9 games, and then they didn't have no championship. And they'd sit back and just wait for everybody to play each other. And they just sitting there moving up, moving up, you know, and they ain't played nobody.
Yeah, they should get healthy at home. And when they come out fully healthy and smash the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. I just pulled two things from what you guys just said, that the loser of the game maybe should smirk a little bit. However, the only thing that can neutralize that situation and stop it from happening if it's a blowout by either team. If either team blows the other team out, I mean, it's going to be hard. And I really do think that's the mindset that both of these coaches are going in this game with. We got to beat the hell out of them so we don't have to see them again. Like, we can't win this game by a field goal may not be good enough because we might have to see their ass again later on down the line. However, if we beat the BCS out of them, then we won't have to play them again. It's going to be hard to give the team a rematch if they beat you by 20 points.
Who has more to lose?
If they beat you by 20,
more
it's
going to
be hard. Both.
If Alabama loses, they have both of them, you say it's equivalent.
Pretty much.
Both teams have a strong enough schedule.
I don't know.
It's just going to be hard.
I feel like I will say this, FSU has underachieved, I feel like, in some major games over the years.
Yep.
I feel like they have underachieved in a couple of major games. This is why I think Jimbo has something to prove. And he does. He has a national championship, fine. But there's never been an assistant to beat Saban. I think he's got some incentive here. Now, what Jimbo will show up? You know, that Jimbo Fisher that runs the fullback up the middle back-to-back-to-back times and doesn't get the first down. And then it's Jimbo Fisher that'll put up 600 yards of offense and they put up 50 points. You just don't know which coach will show up sometimes. Because sometimes he does.
Coach Boyd, I've talked to you about this a number of times, and I'm going to ask you one more time before we close the show out. I don't think that you have – sometimes you're kind of on the edge when it comes to how much you believe in your coach. That's why I'm glad you brought that up. Now, me and you have talked about this a number of times, how they have not really shown up since Jameis left. They haven't been the same team since Jameis Winston left. By watching some of the Hard Knock stuff, you know, because I don't know the guy personally, it looks as he's a coach on the field.
Well,
now, did he coach that national championship season, or did Jimbo Fisher coach that season?
Good question.
Because, again, they haven't done anything since the guys left.
Well, I'll say this. We're only two seasons removed from Jameis, essentially. So this will be the third season without Jameis. They had a first-year quarterback 1 year. And now this is the year I think we can really look at if there's underachieving, because you have an experienced quarterback in the system. You have an experienced running back. You got an experienced offensive line. You got three receivers that are above 6'3". All right, so you got three tight ends that are phenomenal on this team. Okay, so if this team cannot move the football, now we're looking at some real underachieving type of situations. You got five-star running backs. You got nothing but talented players. So now if they go out there and get the brakes beat off of them, there's a problem there. I would agree.
James, so if they lose two games, if they lose two games this year, Alabama and another game, should that be his job?
No, not for two games. Now, if we start looking at another 3-4 loss season or blowouts, it could be. Now, I wouldn't want that because I feel like he's recruited well, and I'm not exactly sure where the disconnect is, if his system is dated. Because in some ways, I think Jimbo Fisher is too pliable. Like, I think his system has too many gadgets or too many wrinkles. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, they run an offense that has about 50 formations.
Bruh.
In terms of they just run a bunch of stuff.
Bruh, there are
so
at
about
least 200 college football teams who will fire their coach right now to have Jimbo Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
today.
No doubt.
Today, they're firing him right now.
They have a history there that's rich in heritage with winning.
Yeah,
I mean, Bobby Bowden was there for years. they're accustomed to winning. Jimbo Fisher has won one championship. And people are starting to say, now I listen to the Florida State fan base that Jim, and I've seen a lot of their tweets as well. They don't think he can do it. They think that was all Jameis Winston.
What he
me and Coach Boyd have talked about.
I will take it. Yeah. What Jimbo inherited was a program that was stuck in the late 80s, early 90s. All right. He inherited a really, really bad program. So the fact he won a championship in those first 3 years was really a seriously good job of efforts. Now, last year's team I felt like was not as good. The previous year's team was really not good. The team that had Sean McGuire, and they just did not play very well.
And Everett, the guy from Notre Dame.
Yeah, and Everett Golson, who
right.
did not mesh well with the team. So that year right there was not very good. Now, last year's team came on towards the end. They got beat bad by Louisville. No Derwin James, I think, affected that game, but it shouldn't have affected it to that point. They should have got beat like that. They got beat like they was Alabama A&M out there against Louisville.
No disrespect to A&M.
And I'm an A&M alum, you know. So I say it. But I felt like Florida State underachieved in certain aspects last year. But then they came back and beat Michigan. They beat Florida. They came back and won some strong games. So we'll see what team comes out this year. The defense should be
Michigan,
very, very good.
So Michigan was a strong game.
We have 2 minutes left.
Michigan was a good team last year. Michigan had at least five guys get drafted off that team last year. So Michigan was not a bad team. They have good coaching. You can't argue the coaching. Man. Michigan has good coaching.
I love Harbaugh. I like Harbaugh.
Yeah, Dabo said,
imagine Harbaugh at Auburn.
Dabo said that Michigan is trash. Man,
well, I'm like,
while you were talking about you were talking about Jimbo Fisher maybe getting fired, I was thinking, I wonder what Jimbo Fisher could do at Auburn.
I'm saying if he's getting blown out like he did against Louisville and they're losing three or four games a year, that could be unique at the end of this season because that's not something the fan base is used to. I don't think they should get rid of him at this point, but that would be challenging to start off with a top five team and lose three or four games and play in a Outback Bowl or a second-tier bowl game. But now if they come out and win the game against Bama, then we're looking at something like, okay, is Jimbo the next saving type thing if they win that game? So it's really feast or famine right now with that.
Okay, well, fellas, this has been an incredible show today. I feel like we covered a lot, man, a lot of good stuff, man. Coach Boyd, man, you're welcome on the show anytime. Man, we love you coming on, man, giving us that ACC insight. And in fact, man, next Wednesday, man, not next Wednesday, but the one after, the one before, football season, we got to have you out, man.
And I'll have some numbers for you guys. I'll call in next Wednesday. We'll have some numbers. We'll chop it up.
Man, that's great, man. That's our time. ACC mixtape. Go ahead, G.
Yes.
Don't forget about the 31st of Birmingham, 2nd Avenue, live podcast, Coach Boyd, Bonzo. Hopefully we can get Billy up here. Big show.
We got
DJ Bobby Steele's in the booth.
I'll play it on.
All right.
Guys. Take care.
That's our time. We out of here, fellas.
All right, yo.
Y'all have a good one. SEC Mixtape.